The previous lesson explained how to write and read files to and from isolated storage. In this lesson, we want to push the envelope a little bit in preparation for our GeoAware note-taking application in day 4. And I want to display a list of files that have been created in isolated storage. Each file name in the list is going to be displayed in a hyperlink so that we can click on it and then open up a second XAML page that will actually display the content of that file. Finally, we're going to add a few usability features and display some quota and usage statistics for isolated storage for our particular application. So as you can see in Visual Studio, I already have a project created called Isolated Storage Listing. And what I need to do, first of all, is add on this page a list box that will list all of the files. I'm going to put that near the top. And then I'm going to put a button probably in the midsection that will allow me to load some sample files into isolated storage already, so we don't have to go through the process of creating some from scratch. So the first thing I'm going to do is, actually I'm just going to go ahead and ignore this view. I'm going to work only in XAML. And I'm going to begin in our content panel, and I want to define a list box. Now within the list box, I want to create what are called an item templates. So I'm going to create a new section, listbox.itemTemplate. And this is going to hold a definition for what every row in the list should look like. Specifically, we're going to create a data template because we want to merge data together. And so inside of this data template, we're going to put a hyperlink button. We could put any kind of XAML that we wanted to in here that we wanted to see repeated time after time in the list, one for every, in this case, every file that's in our file system for isolated storage. I'm just going to use a hyperlink button. I'm going to come back to the content in just a moment. But when the user clicks the file link button, we're going to fire off an event and handle it. We're not going to put a navigate URI for each and every item or hyperlink button in our list. Instead, I'm going to capture the click event and then construct one and then pass it to the second page that we haven't created just yet at runtime. Okay, so a little bit different strategy. I'm not going to set the navigate URI right here declaratively within XAML. I'm going to do it in C# behind the scenes. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. So in addition to the list box, I'm going to create a button, and its purpose is to load a series of 3 sample files onto isolated storage so we can get started relatively quickly. Okay, so if we wanted to peek at what this looks like so far, you can see we have at the very top our list box, and then we have our button. The next thing that I need to do is add a second page. I'm just going to call it second page dot XAML. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I just wanted to go ahead and establish the name of that page in my mind because I'm going to use it here in just a moment. I'm going to also create a click handler. I want to get into the event handler for this button event and do some work in there. The first thing that I want to do is create three files in isolated storage. So we want to load some sample files into our isolated storage area. So this is going to be basically taking the code that we did in the previous video and just duplicating it three times. I could probably go off and create a method that would encapsulate some of these things, and I would just have to pass in the values. Maybe I'll go ahead and do that. Let me see what I can come up with. Okay, now that I've seen the first one and I know what I need to do next, probably it's would be good for me to create a little helper method. So right below my private void load sample button click, I'm going to create a private void create sample. And I'm going to pass in a string for the file name and then a string for the file content. This way, it'll make it easy for me, and I won't have to write this code three times. So to begin with, I'm going to take everything I've got here and actually cut it and paste it into here. And then I'm going to replace this text1.txt with file name. I'll do the same here when I need the file name a second time, file name. And then I'm going to replace this with the file content. Now, all I have to do is call create sample, pass in the name of the file, and then also I need to pass in the text. Then I'm going to copy and paste that two more times and just change out what is different. All right, so that was pretty easy. Assuming it works. All right, so simply creating the examples isn't going to be enough to populate this list box. I'm going to have to take that action on my own shoulders. So there are, two places that I need to do this. First, whenever we create the samples, immediately after we create them, we want to bind those samples into our list box. But also as the application first loads, we want to display them. So first thing I'm going to do is use our little technique here to get to the loaded event and create that. The other thing that I want to do is I'm going to create a helper method called bind list. So private void bind list. And in here I'm going to data bind the files in isolated storage, the titles of each file or the names of them. I'm going to bind those to our list box. Now that I've created the bind list helper method, I want to put that here and call it from the loaded for my phone application page. I'm going to copy that and I'm going to paste it in here as well, whenever we click the load samples button at the very end of that process. Before we move in and actually demonstrate this part, let me just explain a little bit about what's going on here. First of all, whenever somebody clicks the load samples button and we call our create sample helper method, this will go through the process of creating a new file with this file name with this content onto isolated storage. The very first thing that we're doing is making sure that the file does not already exist. If it does, we don't want to overwrite it. So this is the equivalent of saying this. we can just remove all of that, and here's a little shortcut for us. We just have to put the exclamation mark before to check for the not condition. So if not, appstorage.file exists. So if it doesn't exist, then let's move on to the next line of code in 46. We're using our using statement to create a new file with the file name. We're using appstorage. I think previously we may have used another technique, or we may have set additional properties, I forget which. But at this point, now we have a reference to our file, and now we're able to create a stream writer, passing in that file reference, and then write to the file whatever was passed in to our helper method. So we call that three times, creating three files, and then we call this bind list. And what bind list does is simply goes out to App Storage and it gets the names of all the files that are in App Storage, and it stores them into an array of strings. We have not talked about an array, but it's sort of like a collection of strings. You define it by using this open and close square brackets after the word string. Now that we have a collection of strings that contain the names of files, what we want to do is bind those, data bind those to our file list box. And so we're setting the item source. So the source for each item in this list box will come from that collection or that array of strings that contain each of the names of the files that are currently in our isolated storage. So we set the item source property equal to that string. Again, you're probably not going to understand every single thing that we're doing here, especially with regards to arrays of strings. I intentionally didn't talk about that topic. You can use this code as a recipe for how to achieve the same effect, and then at some future point in time, take a look at arrays, especially arrays of strings, to learn more about this technique and why I'm doing this. Now, if we run our application at this point, we're not going to get the satisfaction that we hope for. Well, first of all, we're going to need to change from device to emulator and then run our application again. And when I click load samples, nothing happens. And the reason is because although we've done almost everything right, the problem is back in our main page. We need to tell our data template where we want this content. So to do that, I'm going to use some binding syntax here, and I am going to set it to the word binding. So the content will be bound to whatever values are passed in as the item source for this data template. In this case, that array of strings, that grouping or that collection of strings that we retrieved by calling the getFileName method on our isolated storage. So now when we run the application, we can see that there are indeed three text files, test1, test2, and test3. If we were to click on them, nothing happens just yet. So that's the next thing that we want to remedy within our application. So what I'm going to do is right-click on this file name link button click and navigate to the event handler. So now we can write some code here. And what we want to do is construct a URI on the fly and then pass it to that part of the Windows Phone API that knows how to navigate from one page to another. Up to this point, we've used the simple hyperlink button navigate URI property. I said that there was another way to navigate from page to page, and that's through the use of a navigation service. And we're going to use that right now. The first thing that we're going to need to do, though, is take a tack kind of similar to what we did in day two, where we were trying to determine which button actually clicked on, was clicked, and therefore fired the event. And so we're going to need to do that here as well. We know it's going to be a hyperlink button. We just don't know which one was selected. But now we can retrieve which hyperlink button was clicked by looking at the sender parameter and casting it to a hyperlink button, and now we know which hyperlink button was clicked through the use of this clicked link variable of type hyperlink button. So the next thing we need to do is construct a URI that we're going to pass to the navigation service. And to do that, I brought back our old friend the string.format, created a query string of ID equals, and then we'll replace our replacement text here with the value of the content from our hyperlink button. What's the content? It's going to be whatever was bound here on this property, this hyperlink button content property. In other words, the name of the file that was clicked. One last thing we need to do is now call the navigation service. So we're passing in the URI that we just constructed in the previous line of code and saying it's relative to the current deployment package. So now, if we were to run the application, we'll get a little bit further. By clicking on one of these, we'll go to the second page. You can see everything's cleared off, but that's the only indicator that we have that we've moved from the main page.xaml to the second page. So now most of our work is going to be in the second page.xaml. So let's open that one up. And we're going to need to work in the XAML view here briefly while we add some controls. The first thing I'm going to add is a text block to display the code that was actually, or the values that were actually saved into the file itself. And then also I want to provide a way to get back, just for my own convenience at this point, if for no other reason, I'm going to add a hyperlink button and hard code it to our main page.xaml. Now, just to make sure that everything looks pretty good, I'm going to go ahead and split the pane so now I can see that I do have a text block and then a simple hyperlink button. Great. So the rest of the work here is going to be in the page load. So I'm going to go to my phone application page, look for the loaded event, double click, and I'm going to work inside of here to retrieve the value in the query string for the file name, and then I'm going to go and look on the flash drive for the phone and its isolated storage to retrieve the values that are inside of the passed in text file. Okay, so just to walk us through exactly what's going on, again, we need a reference to the isolated storage file, and we do that for this application, this current instance of the application, by calling the getUserStore for application, just like we've been doing several times already in both the previous video and this video. And then what we want to do is retrieve the file name, and thinking back to our discussion about navigating earlier in the day, we noted how to pluck the query string for a specific value. Using the key of ID, we can retrieve its value and then store its value, in this case a string called file name, into a variable. Next, we want to create a stream reader, and to do that we're going to, you can see yet another way of creating this reading statement, giving you just another path to go down. But we need to ultimately pass in a file, and to do that, instead of saving this in a variable, all I did was just call OpenFile directly inside of the parameters to create a new stream reader. So in this case, OpenFile, passing in the file name and telling it that we're just going to read it only. And as we pass that to the stream reader, now we're able to use the stream reader to read to the end of the file and store all of its values in the text property of our display text block. So now let's try this part of it out. So I'm going to click on test1.txt, and you can see this is the first test. Awesome. Let's click on our hyperlink button and click on test3.txt. This is the third test. Awesome. And just for fun, we'll go ahead and click on the second one as well. Great. Okay, so there's one last thing that I want to do just for fun to show you that it's possible to retrieve these values and evaluate them to see how much space is left in application and in our isolated storage for our application. It might not be readily apparent if we're running out of space. So in order to determine that, we have some helper methods from the isolated storage, that object that we've been using to create files and open files and things of that nature. What I'm going to do is go to the mainpage.xaml. And for brevity's sake, I'm just going to drag and drop two text blocks. I'll go ahead and resize them. And this first one I'm going to name the quota text block. And the second one I'm going to name free text block. Next, in our mainpage.xaml.cs, I can put this anywhere. I think I'm going to go ahead and put it in the bind list. I want to populate those two text blocks with information. For example, the quota, how much has been given to our application, and then how much have we used, so we can determine that using free space. So let's go and do something like this. Okay, so you can see that our app storage object, which again is of type isolated storage file, it gives us several important pieces of information, like, for example, the quota, available free space. It gives us the ability to do other things we didn't talk about, like increasing the quota, so the available size. It also allows us to get directory names in addition to getting file names. It allows us to create and delete files and directories. So there are a number of methods that we haven't looked at in this series of videos, but are available to us when we work with isolated storage. All right, so at any rate, I want to retrieve the free available space and then also the quota and then display those in our text blocks. And so these numbers might not mean a whole lot to us right now. They're in bytes, so we'd have to calculate that to see how many megs and so forth that we have remaining. But it can let us know if we're running to the end of the amount of space that we have for our applications in isolated storage. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up this video, what I wanted to talk about. We're going to continue pushing forward in the next video talking about tombstoning. See you there. Thank you.